Lord, we thank you and we bless you for what you've done already, Lord, how you've spoke to us during worship. Remind us of who you are in the midst of everything that we're going through. You reminded us that you're always, forever the same, that you are a faithful God. Thank you, Lord, for letting us know we don't have to be troubled or worried. But if we trust in you with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, acknowledge you in all our ways, that you will direct our paths. And that if God be for us, who can be against us? So we're so grateful and so thankful for what you've already spoken into our hearts and our lives and our situations and our circumstances. So we ask now that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a light and a lamp unto our feet. It guides us. It directs us. It illuminates the path in a dark, dying, fallen, decaying world, Lord. It's so dark, and without the light of your word, we'd be stumbling around in the dark. But thank you, Lord, that you show us how to walk and live this thing. So speak to us now. Let it jump off the pages into our heart. Then let us apply it. Let us live it. Not only that it would change our life, but it would change our lifestyle. Yes. And we would reflect you. We love you. We bless you. And we thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I also want to remind you all that if you go to the website, southbayalc.com, the messages are posted up there. So if you're not here Sunday, or you just want to make sure that your pastor wasn't speaking heresies and you need to hear that, did he really say what I thought? Go check it out on the website, and you then come back and let me know. So if you have, those of you who are tech savvy and all that good stuff, if you go to the website and you have some ideas for it, let us know. We have a web designer, master, and anything we need and want to do, we can do it with the website. So take a look at it. We're open to suggestions as well. Amen? Did I say 1 Samuel chapter 17? I'm going to say 1 Samuel chapter 17 right now. In verse 46, last week, we talked during Youth Sunday. We went over the story of David and Goliath. We didn't get all the way finished. I'm trying to be creative and bring in the communion and David and Goliath, if you can imagine that. That is funny, isn't it? So remember, we're studying the Proverbs daily, praying and fasting daily. The Proverbs have replaced the horoscope and the fortune cookies. Amen. All you need to know is forever and always the same. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Amen. And I don't care what that other stuff is saying. Stay focused on the word of God. One other thing I want us to focus on, I'll share with it upstairs too, is just as we are, as we're continuing to minister daily to God and to others, let's always be outreach minded. Every opportunity, let's use it for outreach. Invite someone to church. Research shows that 75% of the people you invite to church will come. So let's always just, people are looking and searching. So let's make sure that we use every opportunity to try and share the good news of the gospel with someone. So here we are, Communion Sunday, and let's look at verse 46. Now I'll try and see if I can combine the two. Amen. Amen. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will kill you. Now I'll take your head off, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. If you didn't underline it last week, underline it now, that there is a God in Israel. And those of you taking notes, make sure that you underline that. And so the whole setup, And remember, Goliath was just a distraction. It's just the distractions in our life that God uses to give glory to his name and let others know that there is a God in Israel. That's everything that we go through. It's either an opportunity to share that there is a God in Israel, or it's a distraction that we have to overcome so we can share that there is a God in Israel. So God has set things up so that people will know that there is a God in Israel. These days, God is setting things up so people will know that there's a God in heaven that loves him and sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for them. Whatever you're going through, it's an opportunity or it's a distraction that you have to get through so you can share that good news. So what has God done? God has set things in place so that we're always reminded that God exists. Okay, for example, the Sabbath day. There's 6 days in a week. We rest one day. Why? Because God told us to. Most people don't even know why it's 7 days in a week, because God created 7 days. 6 days he created everything. The seventh day he rested. That's why a week is 7 days and not 10 days. So God has left his fingerprint. He's left his evidence everywhere. So why do we have communion? Because Jesus Christ told us to. So we'll never forget that on the night when he was betrayed, that he had bread and wine with his disciples. And it's been 2016 years that we've been practicing communion. Amen. Why do we do baptisms? Because Jesus Christ told us to, because he was baptized and he told us to be baptized as well. So God has set things in place so that we are without excuse. So no one can say that I didn't know God existed, because he does. And because he created 7 days in a week and one day we rest. In the Old Testament, the Jews, they had the Sabbath. They had the Passover. They had circumcision. And so they would never forget. Trust me, after you've been circumcised, you will never forget that there is a God in heaven. Amen. So let's take a quick look. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. So we remember we take communion today because God has told us to, and so that we never forget what God has done for us. He said, do this in remembrance of me, because he knew we would have jobs and kids and spouses and layoffs and promotions and businesses and all this other stuff that goes on in the world. And God says, keep your life in perspective. Do this in remembrance of me. That's why we have communion here at South Bay Abundant Life Church every first Sunday. But here in Deuteronomy, God is speaking through Moses and directly to the children of Israel. So let's look at 6 and 16. Sorry, Natalie. And we're going to be all over the place. All right. And it says, you shall not test the Lord your God as you tested him in Massa. So God is saying, basically, that test, that proved. Now, in Malachi, he says, prove me and see, won't I pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. But right here, he's saying, don't test me by living on the edge. He said, you don't live on the edge as you lived on the edge in Massa. All right. So God is challenging him. I'm not trying to go there, but I just want to let you know, God is saying, don't see what you can get away with. Say, don't live on the edge as you did before. Verse 17, but you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord, your God, and his testimonies and his statutes, which he have commanded. So God is saying, keep all the things I've told you to keep. That word keep also means to guard. It means to protect, but it also means to celebrate. So we are to celebrate God's commandments and God's guidelines. And why is that? Verse 18. And you should do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Underline in the sight of the Lord. That's the game changer. Because you can ask 10 people what's right and what's good. They'll give you 10 different answers. But when God said you do what's right in the sight of God, that changes the game. That takes my opinion out of it. That takes your opinion out of it. It takes your emotions out of it, how you feel, what you think you should be doing. It takes all of it. And God says, no, no, you do what's right in the sight, what's right and what's good in the sight of God. And how do you know? By studying the word. OK, so this is how you know, by studying the word. Why? That it may be well with you. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. What God has called us to do. Oh, I have to do this. I have to. No, you don't. God said you actually could do what you want to do because we all have a choice. But he said, if you do what's right and good in the sight of the Lord, it will be well with you. And then here comes the promise. So obedience equals peace, and then it equals the promise. Let me say that again. You do what's right and good in the sight of the Lord. It equals your peace that passes all understanding. And then it allows you to partake of the promises, the good land, as it says right here, underlying good land, because you could do things on your own and be living in the bad land. But in order to get to the good place, which the Lord has promised unto our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 19, to cast out all the enemies from before thee as the Lord hath spoken, which we just saw in David and Goliath, which we will see as well. And here's where I was trying to go. So that was just the introduction of where I was trying to go. And when your son asks you in time to come, because it's going to come a time when your son, your daughter, somebody's going to ask you, why are we doing all this? Why we go to church? Mom, why we got to go? I hate going to church. Why we got to get up on Sunday? All my friends get to sleep in and go to the movies. Why do we have to go to church? Why do we have to take communion? Why do we have to participate in this? Why do we have to? It's going to come a time, probably around those teenage years. Okay? Somewhere around those teenage years. Verse 20 says that, and when your son or even your daughter, amen, asks you in time to come saying, what does all this mean? What does communion mean? What does baptism mean? Why do we come to church? What does your testimony mean? And the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord our God hath commanded you. What is all this stuff about? Verse 21, then you should say unto your son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Now, that's their testimony. Your testimony will be somewhat different. Amen. And you're basically telling your sons and your daughters, see that food on the table? It just didn't appear out of thin air. That bed you're sleeping in, that house you live in, those clothes, it just didn't happen. The money that allows, where do you think it came from? If God didn't open the door, we would be nowhere. You have the nerve to say why we got to go to church, because God has provided everything for us. Yeah. The games you're playing, the phone you Snapchatting and all that stuff on. Who do you think provided the resources? Got the nerve to ask, what is it? Why do we have? This is why we have to go. So God is saying we always have to let them know and turn it back to God. Why do we take communion? So we'll never forget what Jesus Christ did for us. So we'll know that we didn't save ourselves, that we were lost, that we were in darkness. That's why we take communion. So we won't think that we've actually done something. Because apart from God, we can do nothing. There's a lot of great men that have died. There's only one person who resurrected and told us what was on the other side and how to get to the other side. Yes. It's only one who resurrected and told us what was on the other side and how to get to the other side. So a lot of great men die. We just had a great man, according to the world standard, that passed away this weekend. Most of you already know Muhammad Ali. And he's not going to resurrect on the third day. Matter of fact, the Bible says it's appointed for man to die once, and after that, the judgment. And I don't want to get too deep. I tell Tracy all the time, people don't want to talk to me. Hey, because I'm the weird one. I'm the weird one. You know, I don't know about all that. What atonement are you making for your sins? What atonement? Oh, but it was great. It was just, it's way deeper than that. It's way deeper than what this world is trying to feed us. It's way deeper than that. See, and here's the opportunity for us tomorrow at work. You walk into your job and they say, "How was your weekend?" And you go, "You know what? It was really nice. I was actually at church yesterday. And we took communion. It just reminded me how special that Jesus Christ was, because he died for our sins on the cross so we could be free." Amen. See, that's simple as that. Let folks get all nervous and get away from you real quick. I'm telling you. Let them get all nervous and get away from you really quick. See, I'm the weird one. Just a nice, soft word, you know. It was actually really special. I mean, it was the first Sunday where we take communion at our church. And it just finally hit me how special Jesus Christ was. Now he died on that cross and set us free from our sins. Oh, yeah. All right. So you're saying, what about Muhammad Ali? What did you say about that? The greatest? Well, I was just reminded there was one that was greater, because we took communion yesterday. I'm the weird one. I'm the weird one. I just too hard. I got to stay right because I go too hard. But folks, it is... The world's trying to feed us something that is, amen, that is spoiled. It's trying to feed us spoiled milk, spoiled meat. Put salt and pepper on it. It's still spoiled. And it don't taste right. MSG. Yeah, MSG and what's that other stuff, that gluten and all gluten-free stuff. Don't try it. Get real food. Pray over that real food and bless it. And then go walk around the block or something, amen? Anyway, y'all trying to get me off track. Verse 21. Then shalt thou say unto your son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen. And we were Satan's slaves. Because you're a slave to either God or Satan. Either you're working for God or Satan. It's nowhere in between. And if you don't know who you're working for, then you're working for Satan by default. They were in bondage to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Somebody say, thank God for the mighty hand. Always, forever the same. Verse 22, and the Lord showed us signs and wonders great and awesome upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household. Underline before our eyes. Remember, this is a conversation he's having with his son. Son, you have no idea what we've been through. You have no idea what it took for us to get to this point. And our kids, they don't. They just think everything just pops up and it just happens like that. They have no idea, some of us especially, how we had to grow up, where we had to grow up, what we had to deal with. And they think that just happens. Get upset because we don't go to their favorite restaurant. Not that you're going out to eat, but you're not going to my favorite one. I could call my brother now. I was sharing with Sister Claudette on Wednesday night. I could call my brother now and ask him, man, did we ever go out to eat with Mom and Dad when we were growing up? He would hang up on me and say, stop playing on my phone, man. He would. He'd laugh, stop playing, and not hear. Hey, Val, hello? And our kids argue over, I don't want to go to that restaurant. They have no idea what God has done. And before our eyes, we've seen this. And that's why we have to teach them, because they don't know. Verse 23, and he brought us from there, that he might bring us into and give us. Bring us in to give us the land which he promised. Underline that God is a promise keeper. Verse 24, and the Lord commanded us to do all these things. They were the Passover. They were circumcision, keeping the Sabbath day. Do all these things, communion, baptism, fellowship, church, to do all these things, to make disciples, to reverence, respect the Lord our God, for our good always. Underline for our good always. God has set things in place so we won't self-destruct. We talk about it all the time. If you want your kid to self-destruct, tell them to do whatever they want to do. What time shall I come home? When you feel like it. What time shall I go to bed? When you want to. What time shall I get up? Whenever your eyes wake you up. Do I need to clean my room? No. Dishes? No. Laundry? No. Nothing. Do whatever. So why wouldn't God put things in place for us not to self-destruct? Look what it says, that he might preserve us alive. Not just existing, but when we do it God's way, we're actually alive. That's why it says he's come to give us life and that more abundantly. And he says, as it is this day. Just look back on your life and your blessed days and what God has done for you. And when you're in Christ, you're more alive than ever. Amen. We can just sit back and reflect the peace of God, the goodness of God, the greatness of God working in your life, even in the midst of all the ups and downs. God has preserved us alive as it is this day. What a great day this is. To be saved, to be under the covering of God. To at least know that there's limits and boundaries, that if I get outside of it, God pulls me back in, because I know. The sad thing is those who get outside and don't even know that they're outside the boundaries of God. There's no boundaries, and they eventually self-destruct. Verse 25, and it shall be our righteousness. But we take communion to be reminded that it's not our righteousness, because they had to work for it back then. They had the law. Verse 25, make a note. We take communion so we're reminded that it was Christ's righteousness that saved us. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that. And it should be our righteousness if we observe, if we do, to be careful to do all these commandments before the Lord, our God, as he has commanded, not suggested to us. Amen. So that's why we do it, so that we will never forget. When our kids ask, we tell them why. Because they don't know. They think stuff just magically appears and pops up. That a phone just pops up under the Christmas tree. And a tablet. And a TV and a computer. And new shoes. Just happened. So why I got to go to church? You stop talking to me right now. You really don't want me to go there, do you? But yes, because they need to know. Before we go back to 1 Samuel. Samuel, put your finger on 1 Samuel 17:46, but then look at John 14. So in the midst of everyone worshiping other things, just let's remind folks, there was only one man who resurrected after 3 days, which he said he would do. Amen. And then told us what was on the other side and how to get there. John 14. Let's go 1-7. I love this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And we can kind of stop right there. So when you're imagining, examining your heart right now and it's troubled, you got to ask yourself why. Either you don't believe in God or you don't believe in Jesus, because Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. Let God work it out. Then he goes to say, in my Father's, what's on the other side? When we transition with Jesus Christ in our heart, when we transition, what's on the other side? He says, in my Father's house are many mansions, are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither you go, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, so how do I get there? How do I get to heaven? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. Nobody enters into heaven. Nobody gets to paradise but by or through Jesus Christ. That's a tough word. But that's the word. The only one who lived, died, resurrected, told us how to get to the other side, and told us what was on the other side. Verse 7, if you have known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Because he's saying, me and my Father are one. Back to 1 Samuel 17. And I got 5 minutes. I knew man, you all know I got ADD. I go all over the place. I'm trying to stick to a scripture. But what was interesting when I was, when we were just flying to New Orleans, Jamaica and I, we left Wednesday night, and Tracy and JL, they came up Saturday morning. So you know how it is. You get on the plane and you just, normally we sit next to each other. But since it was just me and Jay, you know how many planes, how many seats on a plane normally? How many? How many next to each other? Three. Yeah. So I had to sit next to somebody else. Remember, it's an opportunity or a distraction, right? No, it was a good distraction. It ties in. I sat next to this guy, Indian guy. He was from India, but his name was Luke. L-U-K-E. I said, that is an interesting name. And we shared, he's a professor at UC Santa Barbara, engineering. And I shared, I'm a professor at Loyola Marymount, but I'm also a pastor. And he said, you know, that's interesting. He said, you know, my dad teaches Bible study. I said, wait a minute, you from India? He said, yeah, in the southern part of India, that's where Thomas, who just asked, we don't know the way nor the way, the doubting Thomas. He said, Thomas is the one that came to the southern tip of India. That's why it's a Christian community there on the southern tip of India. So the more you study the scriptures and then you study, I was talking to my Armenian friend as well, and Matthew was the one who went to Armenia. That's why Armenia is a Christian country. When you start adding the pieces, we know that the Ethiopian eunuch went to Ethiopia. That's why you got these Ethiopian churches that love Jesus in Ethiopia. It's actually went out. That's why we do it. I was amazed because I have quite a few Indian friends, and most of them were what, into Hinduism and different things like that. This guy was a Christian, said Thomas, and his dad teaches Bible study. Yeah, I'm on him, man. I would, you know. And we exchanged numbers, and I said, I follow up next time I'm in Santa Barbara, which is one of my favorite places to go. I have to look him up. Amen. You never know why someone is next to you, but just use every opportunity. How many Indian guys you know named Luke? No, all of them. All right, we got 2 minutes, so I'm going to have to finish this up. And I'll come back next week. We'll get to the other part. We'll get to the where David kills Goliath and all that kind of stuff. But look at 17 and 55. This is the first closing. 1 Samuel 17:55. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he asked unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? Who is this young man? And so for us, and I saw some of the youth walk in, and the youth that are here, it doesn't matter who knows who you are. Make sure God knows who you are. Make sure God knows who you are. Doesn't matter what other people are saying about you. It's what God has called you to do. Do that. And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire thou whose son this little stripling is. Yes, little guy is. And remember, he had shared with Saul before. So Saul didn't even get it when David first talked to him, when he told him about the lion and the bear. He didn't get it. But now he wants to know, who is this guy? Doesn't matter, family. Let's keep working for God. It doesn't matter what the people say and even how they respond to what God's called us to do. Verse 57, as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul. David's still walking around with the head of Goliath. David had some issues, but he's like, I'm keeping this one. He put the armor, and we'll go over it next week. He put the armor in the tent, but he said, I'm rolling with this head right here. With the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said unto him, this is important, whose son are you, you young man? And David answered, I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. All right, now this is the second closing. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Remember, Matthew is a book written by a Jew. Matthew was a Jew. And remember, Matthew went over to Armenia. That's why Armenia is a Christian country. Man, thank God for the Holy Spirit, which turned their lives upside down. And remember, as we're taking communion, that only one of them died a natural death, and that was John. He was exiled. Everybody else was killed because they wouldn't stop talking about Jesus Christ, including Paul, whose head was cut off by Nero because he wouldn't shut up talking about Jesus. That's how the gospel spread. That's why we know about it now. Amen. So here's the connection. Matthew 1 and 1, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the same David that killed Goliath. Because as Matthew is writing this book to the Jews, they need to see that the Messiah, because it's already written in the scriptures, the Messiah must come from Abraham and David, from the lineage of Abraham and David, and then he must be born through that. The same David we just saw take out Goliath. The same one that Matthew's writing about. And so then it goes through, look at verse 6, and Jesse, he told him he was Jesse's son, and Jesse had David the king, and David the king had Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. So that's a whole nother story. But thank God, because you got Rahab in there, you got Ruth. Thank God that he uses jacked up people to make a difference. Amen. So you and I qualify. Amen. So don't feel bad about your stuff. All right. Don't feel bad. He wrote it in there. He had Solomon by Uriah's wife. I mean, anybody else get that? Wait a minute. That was somebody else's wife and he had Solomon? Oh, okay. Anyway, but that's the King David. And God said he was a man after his own heart. Give God your heart. Let him work out the details of everything else. And remember, when you're feeling bad, read Psalms 51. That's when David found out. He was brought to his attention all this that he had done with Uriah and Bathsheba, and he just lost it. Say, God, I'm so sorry. And he meant it. And that's the difference. You got people who want to live any kind of way and say, I don't even recognize God. God, I'm good. But when you know, it's all about repentance because we couldn't work for it. All right, let me finish this. This is what the third one, right? Okay, verse 116. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David unto carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. For always and forever the same. Write down, God is a God of order and purpose. Nothing happens by accident. That's why we take communion, because God has set things in order. I'm going to ask Brother Anthony, Pastor Manny, if you all would come up and let's Let's quickly take communion. Amen. And Ivy, if you would give me anything, oceans or anything up there as we take communion. So as we're reflecting, as we take communion, family, just know that it's not about works. It's about what Jesus Christ has already done for us and set in motion. Why do we do it? Because he told us. And so we'll never forget that he's our righteousness, that we couldn't earn it. We could only receive it. Repent, confess, and say, Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for allowing me to put my life back in perspective, that it's more about you than it is about me and the stuff I'm going through. You covered it under the blood. Yes, brothers, go ahead and pass it out. Thank you, Lord. In 1 Corinthians 11, 23, it talks about how on the night when Christ was betrayed, he gave thanks. Oh, it's hard to give thanks when you've been betrayed. Somebody say amen. Amen. Jesus just set the example and the model all the way across. And he asks us, as we take communion, let us examine our heart. If it's anyone we need to forgive, anyone that we're holding a grudge against, let it go. Let, as we'll see next week, let God fight your battles as he did with David. Let him go. Stop holding on to the grudge, to the unforgiveness. It's like you taking poison, expecting the other person to get sick. Let him go. Ask God to fight that battle. Forgive them. Forgive yourself. Or stop condemning yourself. Jesus died for that. Put it all in perspective. That's why we do communion. So we'll never forget how we're so blessed that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is inclusive. He put no stipulations. Elevate that which represents his body. Lord, we thank you that you paid a physical price so that we could be free. You split time in half 2016 years ago. That's why we're in 2016. It went from BC to AD. God, you created 7 days in a week. That's why we have 7 days in a week. You've left your evidence on everything that we do, Lord. We thank you for lifting the scales off of our eyes so we could see that God is alive and well. And all that you've done for us, forever and always the same. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. For being beat and whipped, for you being broken, so we could be put back together through your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Go on and eat that which represents his body, and elevate that which represents his blood. We thank you, Lord, for the new covenant, the New Testament. We read in the Old Testament, they had to work for their righteousness. But Jesus Christ, you are our righteousness. You are the propitiation of our sins. You are the atonement for our sins. As we're learning in the book of Leviticus, as Pastor Manny stated, the sin offering, the burnt offering, the trespass offering, the peace offering, the meat offering, the drink offering. But now it's just one offering. Christ was offered up once and for all, covered our sins. Thank you, Lord. This is why we do it, to remember how we're set free through the blood of Jesus Christ, who's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through him. Thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go on and drink that which represents his blood. If you would, pass them down to the center aisles. Thank you, brothers. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once you've passed in your sacrament, stand to your feet. Members, we're headed up. If you have a chicken dinner or something like that, we're headed up. Give somebody a hug. God bless you. Oh, men, we need to see you for 2 seconds to get you your books, and you are dismissed. Are you already got them to them, Manny?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, men, we'll see you Saturday morning at 8, 7:45.